studio in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to Packer Transplants Very, Very Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and I am joined, as always, by Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We are coming to you live from the LiveX studio in Midtown Manhattan, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we have a blue screen. We had Lambeau Field. I don't know what happened.
Well, we're doing a Star Wars film.
Hey, we're doing Star Wars.
Corey's on the planet Kamino.
Today, we have to pinch ourselves thinking about the fact that the Packers are four quarters away from playing in the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Davante Adams.
We got the bad. We got
not containing Russell Wilson.
We got the ugly. We got
the fucking officiating. No clear recovery, my ass. How you doing, Corey Banky?
I'm good. I just want him to switch the screen out because I keep looking at myself in a blue screen. I think I'm Luke Skywalker.
You are, man. There's Lambeau.
Lambeau.
What's up, Lambeau?
Came back.
We'll do it live. We'll do it very live.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you were in today. You were right there for this game.
Yes, I was.
So how did it go? How was your trip?
Nagler, I have tickets to the NFC Championship game at Lambeau Field.
Should it be played at Lambeau Field? Which it is not. However, let's try flying out to San Francisco and see what happens if we try and use those tickets. What do you think?
I didn't get a new star. The actual cab driver came and dropped this off, and I gave him a $20 tip.
Are you serious?
Yeah, everybody's like, I got a new shirt. No,
nope.
I didn't.
No, nope. We called
the cab driver. I found him.
Wait a second. Let's give a shout out to Rachel for doing all the work on that one. Yeah. Rachel did yeoman's work tracking this shirt down.
NFC Championship game, Packers versus opponent.
Opponent.
Get loud, Lambeau.
Well,
thought I'd bring those.
Was not
thought
to
I,
be.
Thought I'd bring those
you know,
to show.
One fucking inch. Mm. Seattle can't just go one inch, and this game will be played in Lambeau Field. But it is what it is.
Yeah. Wow. What an amazing night.
I mean, people saw the opening there. There you are in Lambeau. Those are your grandpa's seats.
Yeah.
Amazing.
This is the first time I've ever watched a game at Lambeau in my grandpa's seats, and everyone around me was younger than me.
Well, yeah, and you got recognized. You got a little shout out.
Yeah, I had people come down. They were coming down bleachers just to say hi at halftime.
That's crazy.
I had a guy who, instead of asking me to sit down, he was like, at the second quarter, because I really love to stand on the bleacher in front of me, he was like,
that's not annoying.
I'll buy you two beers if you never do that anymore. And I was like, dude, okay.
Rock and roll.
And then not only that, but I had like these like highfalutin IPAs. Like I didn't even have like Miller Lite or anything.
You ain't doing no cheapo beer.
Yeah, I didn't do like cheap beer in Lambeau. And he saw what we were drinking and he got me and my sister a tall boy. So kudos to that guy.
Hey, rock on, man. That's
it was great. Lambeau was, it was magical.
I had so many people.
Magical.
In the 24 hours after the game was over, and I know you said this as well, nobody sat down. The whole place stood up.
Oh, yeah.
The entirety of the game.
From the moment I got there until the moment I left, I did not sit down one time. I didn't even sit down to like...
That's crazy.
All myself.
It's like the
that's
most...
only happened to me one other time, and that was the NFC Championship game.
So there we go.
And
Packers
that
fans
game was really
showed up.
Freaking cold, too.
Yeah, it was.
This game, surprisingly, was not. It was very warm in Lambeau Field.
Right.
I know it was like 23 degrees. It didn't feel like it.
Yeah. There was no biting wind. I mean, that's always what makes it bad.
It was pretty amazing. I don't remember the entire night, I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah, we were talking about that prior to the airing here.
Yeah.
I could kind of tell once you hit the house after the game and started tweeting.
I was so drunk, I left my sister. My sister and I got split up, and I didn't even wait for her. I just kept walking to my house.
She knows where the house is.
And I'm like, well, it's like...
It's not hard to find.
It's not that hard. But like she waited for me.
Of course, because she's a good sister.
Yeah.
You're the
jerk.
She's
like, my brother, where'd he go? He abandoned me. And then she showed up after, and she was... It was hilarious. I mean, dude, at some point in the night, I was making snow angels, and I had flip-flops on.
That's how you know your team is one game away from the Super Bowl. That's how you can tell. That right there. That's how you
can
tell.
I mean, it was like they had these lights outside. I posted them on Instagram.
Oh, everybody's put them on social.
They had these.
They're the normal
lights when you open your store. But
what was so great is that like they turned them on and it was like
the heavens opened up with snow after the game, and those lights were going, and everybody was posting it.
So it
looked amazing.
It was so
good. It was like
good.
It was designed by the heavens to celebrate a Packers victory.
It was so good. It has to go down in history as one of the greatest playoff games at Lambeau Field. It's so good.
And I was here working.
You weren't here, though.
I was at Barstool, where I got this lovely sweatshirt. They gave me the Aaron Jones Wave sweatshirt.
Oh, nice. For
Liz,
free?
Yeah, Liz just gave it to me, and a t-shirt. It was very nice of them.
That's nice.
So I had a nice time with everybody on the Barstool watch party. We threw it up here on the YouTube channel. I've had a lot of people ask, Corey and I will be back doing watch party this Sunday night.
The last watch party
last
of the season.
Last watch party. Dun, dun, dun. But we will be here on the YouTube channel doing watch. So I hope you all can join us, and whatever the fates may be, it's going to be a ball. It's going to be a good time. And there may be a Madden preview in the future.
Oh, yeah. We're doing a Madden preview on Friday.
A Madden preview.
We were going to have the producer of this show.
That would be one, Al.
San Francisco Al. 49er fan.
But then he made up some bullshit.
Oh, he's
got to
go on vacation
this weekend.
He's got to
go some vacation on Friday.
Wow.
Just happens to be the weekend
typical,
his team is playing.
Typical 49ers fan.
Yeah, not
showing
up.
Oh, I'm not going to think I'm going to be anywhere that I need to be in January.
No, of course not. My team's garbage.
My team's terrible.
No, they're not going to make the playoffs.
And now I'm a 49ers fan. All I can talk about is George Kittle all the damn time. Oh, my God. Stop talking about George Kittle. I'm so sick of hearing about George freaking Kittle.
Hey. Wait, now. George Kittle is friend of show at this point because he put us, Cheesehead TV, on his Insta story last week.
What?
Yeah. Because Barstool, once the Packers won, tagged him, and he put it in his story on Insta. So he's
a Barstool.
No, and Cheesehead TV.
Wow.
He is now friend of Cheesehead TV. And so
whatever.
We're sorry you have to take the beat down you're going to take on Sunday, dear friend, but we're happy to have you on board, as always. But yes, no, Sunday was great. Sunday was magical. Let's do it again this Sunday night.
Let's do it again.
I like that.
I really like this. This season has proved itself to be more like 2010 than any season since. Mm. For three reasons. One, the pundits are morons. And they've proved how much of more...
their moronicness.
Every single person besides James Jones who works as a football analyst, we're talking about almost 1,000 people, okay?
Right.
Hundreds of people have basically shown how clearly no one really understands the game of football. It has portrayed itself more in the last 3 weeks. How much noise there is.
Oh, a lot of noise.
How much noise there really is, and how much people don't know what they're talking. I know we're going to talk about it later on the show. But that has been revealing, and that happened in 2010. Yeah. And then just we don't know anything when it comes to football. It's not as simple as people try to make it be. It's a very complicated sport. We said it on this show.
Yes and no.
It's a simple sport, but it's a very complicated
sense of...
there are
a lot of variables.
There are many, 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 many ways to win.
Right.
And we haven't even seen all the ways that football teams can win in this league.
I feel you there.
And when a team doesn't win the way you think that you expect them to, or used to.
I feel that.
It takes you on this avenue, and it takes these pundits on this avenue where it's like... statistics and things are there to serve the play of the game and who won and lost the game.
Right.
It's really a weird world we're living in right now.
I feel you. Let's talk some Packers news, shall we?
Yeah.
The Packers are in the NFC Championship game, Corey. I don't know if you're aware.
I heard
the Packers,
like that.
The Green Bay Packers. That's the game played prior to the Super Bowl for entry into the Super Bowl. Just wanted to get that out there, make sure everyone knew. Getting down to the nitty gritty practice, the Packers were back on the practice field today. Brian Bulaga and Danny Vitale back on the gridiron, back in practice. Vitale obviously missed the last game. He's been battling a knee injury, but he also came down with the flu bug that's been getting everybody sick, including Brian Bulaga, but Bulaga was also back today. So that is very, very good news for the Green Bay Packers. Alan Lazard, wide receiver, still limited by his ankle injury. He was off to the side, did not do the team drills or the individual stuff, etc. Hopefully, he comes along as the week goes along because they desperately need him out there. It's already a tough ask to go out in San Francisco and win this game. They want to be all hands on deck, and Lazard's a big piece of that. Finally, Bobby Dillon Your boy.
Wow.
Bobby Dylan is the 26th Packer voted into the Hall of Fame.
So there's a special place in my house, okay? And it's the stairwell from where, well, there's this little area where drunks go to die, where there's a lot of steps.
Yeah, yeah, been there.
Then you get into the hallway, and it's the stairwell. And I've christened the stairwell the did not qualify stairwell, okay? And basically, and my mind's going to go blank, but I can look on my wall. So basically, we won the championship in 44, and then we didn't win anything until 61, right? 61, 62, 61. So 44 to 61, and then again, after the Lombardi year, 67 to approximately 96, right? Which is a really long time. Yep. So those two periods of Packer history are reserved for people like Bobby Dylan. Bobby Dylan, of the 44 to 60 era of players who didn't, he was part of this.
1952 to 1959.
Yep. So Bobby Dylan retired right as Vince Lombardi became the coach of the Green Bay Packers. So it's so fascinating to me to think about some of these players. And they're in our, in we have a bedroom called the Lombardi Room. And in the Lombardi Room, I've chosen 24 players, and I've made sure to choose headshots from players that were there in the early years. So there's a couple players that were part of Bobby Dylan's team that got to win a championship with Lombardi.
Right, who were
He inherited a pretty good team.
Spot. That's been written about quite a bit. And so he inherited
a pretty good team, and it's Bobby Dylan.
Talent-wise,
Bobby Dylan's one of those fascinating guys of, like, you know, the lost years. I could have named the stairwell the lost years, but I don't know. I'm very interested and fascinated with this time period, you know, especially because, you know, you and I grew up in a time period where
one of those time periods did not qualify.
James Lofton was a great player. No one besides us is ever talking about James Lofton.
Exactly.
You see him at alumni games, but you're not.
Paul Kaufman, who gave your aunt
Paul Kaufman,
a kiss.
Paul Kaufman, another one of those. Some people say he's the greatest tight end to ever play for the Packers. I do not agree with that, but
he's in the combo.
He's
definitely in the combo.
Great guy, by the way. He
I love that picture. He was giving Aunt Gert a kiss.
Only
That's
in
amazing.
Wisconsin.
That's
okay.
Amazing.
Only in Wisconsin can, like, a Packer great be sitting at a bar in Brilliant, Wisconsin. Okay, Brilliant, Wisconsin has like less than 3,000 people. Okay, so and he's dating the bartender. That's why he was there.
That's amazing.
And like, what's hilarious about my family is anything to do with the Packers, everyone comes up to me. They're like, "Oh, you got to meet this guy. You got to meet this guy." I'm like, "Who?" They're like, "Paul Kaufman." I'm like,
"Get the
Packer tight end great Paul Kaufman." So I had to get, and you know, my Aunt Gert was very unimpressed.
Of course,
and I'll tell you why. My Aunt Gert is spoiled by championships, right? Mm-hmm. She grew up around championships. That's
she was
what
at the ice bowl,
to.
You know.
So she's like, "Oh, Paul Kaufman. Oh, that's nice." It was so great.
Like, you and I are like,
I was like,
heroes of our youth.
I was like, "Oh my goodness, my Aunt Gert just totally like
she sunned Paul
Kaufman." Luckily,
Kaufman.
He didn't care.
Right.
Plus, my Aunt Gert's 95.
It was her 95th birthday. That's the other thing. Happy birthday to Aunt Gert.
Happy birthday, Aunt Gert.
95 years old.
She did not call me. She was going to call me if she wanted. She had some notes from the game.
Oh, of course she did.
So, you know, maybe next week.
Hey, I'll tell you what. Remember back in the day when she first appeared on this program, we asked her about Aaron Rodgers, and she said he was a man of accuracy.
Yes.
That man of accuracy, he appeared on Sunday night. So I think clearly the spirit of Aunt Gert's birthday was flowing through Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
But yeah, to put a button on Bobby Dylan, he was a four-time All-Pro. That tells you how good he was. And here's the insane thing. He had one working eye. One working eye, the all-time interception leader for the Packers.
There are people that say he's one of the greatest to ever play. Like, I was reading this article that Cliff Kristol had, and there were some scouts that were writing about him. So he's going to be, for the did not qualify stairwell, I feel like he's in the top of talking about 100%. That. Paul Kaufman's in there. James Lofton's in there. This guy's in there. But, you know, I thought about that in the last 2 years, especially.
Larry McCarron's got to be in there.
Larry McCarron, the Rock in there.
Got to put a Rock.
I thought, you know, I know we don't want to spend too much time, but it's like,
we spend all the time we want. It's A, it's our show. B, it's the internet. By the way, happy birthday to Aunt Gert from Sweden. That's pretty amazing.
There you go. I can't remember what I was going to say. Yes, I do. Oh, the last 2 years especially, I have been reminded about my childhood of not making the playoffs.
Right, because we didn't make the playoffs.
Because we didn't make the playoffs. Right. And you know what it does? It does this thing. It did this for me anyway. I don't know if other people are like this, but for me, it made me like dig down and be like, what makes me a Packer fan? Is it just winning? And like, what are the things that are important?
Right.
So I actually feel, and I've always been like a pretty positive person when it comes to the Packers, because I just think that's the way you got to live. But it did make me realize that, like, yeah, these guys that work their ass off and that make this team every year, whether we win the championship or not, it doesn't, their role doesn't is not diminished
exactly.
to me.
1,000,000%
It used
agree.
To be.
Yeah.
It used to be. Yeah. And now it's not. It's why Packer fans can celebrate, you know, the KGBs of the world, who KGB's got his own issues right
now. His own issues.
No,
at the
but
moment.
When he was playing,
when he was
right?
playing, I hear you.
Or the
I
Sam Congatos, right? Or the guys, the little guys, you know,
yeah,
and also, you know, in the Super Bowl, our running back we won the Super Bowl with another
Brandon Jackson,
but also can't think
James Starks.
James Starks,
right?
Another guy where it's like they're just a guy, but not. They're guys that.
Contribute and they come in, they show up every week and they
showed up.
They're part of it. They're part of the fucking menagerie of not just Packers the team, but Packers the franchise, Packers the way of life that you celebrate. Like, I mean, just look around us here. Look, we're in this studio. We got a live shot of Lambeau Field. We're connected to this team in an absurd way. I mean, if you step outside of us and look at it from a 30,000 foot view, it's kind of ridiculous. It's kind of beyond absurd. But to us, to you and I, and I think to the many people here on the chat watching live, it makes perfect sense. And it's funny because all I did like last night, I put up the NFL, put up that clip of all the big plays from this season. And just the responses are amazing. People saying, I love this team. Put this in my veins. Like, I'm going to cry. This makes me so happy. Intellectually, it's the most ridiculous thing on earth. But I feel it, and I get it. I totally get it.
Yep.
So, like, to your point, the idea that whether you're Paul Kaufman, whether you're Randy Wright, whether you're Matt Flynn, every one of those guys are special to me. Like, other people might not get it, but I get it, and that's all that matters. All right, let's talk about the offense, shall we? I mean, since we're here, and the Packers are playing still, one of only four teams, 28 others, sitting at home on their couch saying, who's going to be in the Super Bowl just like everybody else?
Yep.
The Packers obviously took care of business on Sunday night, as we said they would, people. But I loved this clip. I put it up on Twitter. I wanted to play it here. This is Corey Linsley, literally with 7 seconds left on the play clock.
So great.
Asking Aaron Rodgers what he wants to do with protection. Roll it out.
Third down and 7.
And then Rodgers
backs up, throws Adams, touchdown.
What I love about that clip.
What do you want to do here?
What do you want? There's literally he gets
pick
the fake
protection.
He gets the fake count, right? And then the guys creep up, like they're gonna blitz. So now they've shown their hand, and that's why Corey says, "What do you want to do here?" And I love the idea because Linsley had a quote after the game. He's like, "Yeah, it's not about the clock. We've got plenty of time. Plenty of time. There's 7 seconds left on the play clock. Oh, we've got plenty of time." What do you want to do here?
What do you want to do here?
Like, and then Rodgers sets the protection. RR, go slide to the right. He resets the back to the other side, and away they go. I love that. The intricacies, the idea that, well, we think they have this master plan, whatever. Like, not always. Sometimes it's that simple. It's, okay, they've shown their hand. How do you want to adjust?
Yeah.
And it's not like a super signal secret thing. It's literally Corey Linsley yelling, what do you want to do here?
Can I just say something?
I love that.
Can I just say something? Okay.
Yeah, of course.
I'm a little bit of a fanboy of Corey Linsley. I have had the...
I'm a huge fanboy of Corey Linsley.
I have had the...
His choice to support said, English Premier League clubs erroneously.
Nagler!
Nonwithstanding.
Get out of here with the English Premier League. God.
That's his only fault. It's his only fault.
Killing me.
It's his only
fault. I have had, I'm gonna do a little celebrity thing, okay? Mm-hmm. I have had the privilege and the honor of having dinner with the man.
You have. It's
and
true.
He is exactly what you think he is. That's what I love about him.
Right.
He is just this down-to-earth, really intellectual dude.
Right.
Who happens to play offensive line for
the Green Bay Packers.
And happens crazy. To start for the Pack. Like, it's crazy. It's just so crazy. And, like, that is his personality.
Yeah.
What do you want to, like, what do you want to do here? Not, like, bitchy. Not
right.
Just, like, you know, we got to pick something.
Yeah, we got to do something here. Like they've shown they're going to blitz.
They've shown us something.
What are we doing?
It's so great. It's so great. The Lindsleys, just in general, like, they bring so much greatness to the Green Bay Packers. And it's
you talk about Packer people and whatever you want to say about it being a PR thing, whatever.
Not a PR.
There is a realness to Packer people. And the Lindsleys are Packer people.
The Lindsleys represent.
They represent. They carry the G.
They carry the G for sure.
As a family. And then, you know, you can't talk about the offense without talking about Devontae Adams and the game he had
on Sunday night. Holy mother of moly.
I had some nonsense BS commentator, like Twitter dude, like come at me and like, whoa, are you going to ignore the fact that no receiver outside of Adams had a reception over 11 yards?
Oh, come on. Who cares?
Okay, first of all, you know why?
Oh my.
No receiver other than Adams had a reception over 11 yards? Because they didn't need to. Because Devontae was absolutely dominating.
Let me see. Devontae Adams is wide open, but I haven't thrown it to another receiver yet.
Do you talk about people not understanding football? That is a perfect example of not understanding football. Why on earth would you throw it to Jake Kumerow when Devontae Adams is wide fucking open? I mean, the man set a franchise postseason record for yardage in a single postseason game. 160 yards. Why on earth would you go someplace else? I wanted to give Devontae a shout-out.
I love that. You told me that Rodgers said it. I think I saw it, but I was a little bit tipsy that night, so I don't know exactly what I saw. But I asked you earlier, the fact, okay, this has got to get people excited, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That after the game, Aaron Rodgers said he felt the special connection similar to what he felt with Jordy Nelson.
He did indeed.
Okay. If that is the truth and that can be sustained.
Yeah. Look out.
I do not know. Okay. You could put three people over there. Exactly. Okay. But now you just opened up a world of hurt. So it's like. You're entering a world of pain. And there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, the 49ers are going to do everything they can to basically put Richard Sherman on Devontae Adams.
I don't think they will, actually. I think they'll play sides like they always do. They'll play their match zone like they always do.
They're going to double him.
No,
they're going to make sure they have a guy over the top.
They'll bracket him. I think the Packers will try to counter by moving him inside. You've seen a bunch of that here down the stretch. They tried that the last time around in San Francisco. To me, it's much more about getting the running game going, and that's going to open things up.
Well, what do you think based on so we're on Devontae right now, okay?
Yeah, I know.
And on script, Nagler.
And the way that Devontae works downfield is by getting the running game going.
Yeah, yeah.
Drop them out of that cover three shell.
What do you think?
Because that's the issue.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
What do you think was missing 7 weeks ago when we played them?
A number of things. It's interesting.
No, regarding the wide receivers specifically. Because there's some situational football that was in the middle of it.
I have talked about this all week. I'll continue to talk about it all week.
You
I know you don't listen to my radio hits. You don't follow me on social media. You don't pay attention to me when I speak to you. So I understand that you have not heard this. But people keep saying, well, how are they going to get the offense going? What are they going to do differently?
But that's not what I'm saying.
I know. But so what are how do you got to, because remember I got into a tiff with Zach Cruz after the game because I said, if you think trading for a wide receiver would have made this game any different, you're like living in a fantasy.
Oh, no, I agree.
Zach got so upset and blah, 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 blah. That game and both games against these cover three teams, whether it was the 49ers, whether it was the Chargers, who both play similar schemes. And the Seahawks used to, but they play way more cover two now and two shell, which is weird for a Carroll team. But inevitably, you have got to run the football. And I know people don't want to hear it, and they don't want to see run pass, and they don't want to watch their team slam their head against a wall repeatedly. But this is a game where they have to. And I'm stressing, underline, italicized, triple underline. They have to run the football, regardless of how it's going, regardless of whether they're picking up 5 yards or 2 yards, they have to run the football. Because until they get that going, and yes, eventually you keep going with it, you will start breaking some 4-yard runs, some 5-yard runs. And while you're doing that, they will start to adjust. They will have to bring one of those safeties down. They will have to call a different coverage. But until you do, it is going to be that nightmare front, 4 across. They're going to have 3 deep, 4 underneath,
rushing forward with the pass, rush the passer with four guys. And that is it. And they will do that all night long.
Well, and that was so great about Aaron Jones getting one early. It was like,
yeah, 100%.
Got 8 yards early.
100%. But that's the key against San Francisco, because you can't just sit back there and try and work the ball downfield into that cloud coverage, the match zone that they play. There's just not openings. They're too athletic. And yeah, is Richard Sherman on one side? Yes. Are you going to completely go away from him? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
But you definitely don't want to go at him. You don't want to like go out of your way to go, we're challenging you, Richard Sherman. No, there's another side to go after.
Also, do you agree or disagree?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this isn't a diatribe question, okay?
No, of course.
Agree or disagree?
Right.
If the Green Bay Packers win on Sunday, it will be because of their offense.
Whew, wow.
See, to me, I feel like you can hang your hat on this D.
I agree in the sense that the defense kept him in it last time and the offense never showed up. So in that sense, yes, I agree. Because I think the defense has shown that they can hang if they get any kind of support from the offensive side of the football. So sure. Yeah, I agree. I'm down with that.
I just feel like if we're gonna take it over the top, which I believe we can, obviously. If we're gonna take it over the top, it's going to be a continuation of what you saw against Seattle. Not the scheme, not the way we're playing, but the way that we were able to generate offense. Because to me, we were able to generate offense against the Seahawks in a way that I have not seen this season. Like, whether it was Matt LaFleur had Pete Carroll's number, or it was just finally we gelled together as an offense.
To me, a big part of it is they stuck with the run even though it wasn't working. Because they had that the very first run of the game, I think Jones got, ripped off a first down run.
Yeah. It was like eight or it was either a first down.
It was a first down. Like, I think he got like 12 yards or something. And it was like, okay, here we go. And then for the rest of the game, essentially, they really had trouble finding space, breaking him loose, whatever. But that didn't mean they stopped calling it. To me, another X factor on the offensive side is Irvin. It's like he's a guy they didn't even have last time, right? Yeah. And a lot of the motion, the jet motion, the orbit motion, whether it's giving him an end around, passing on a wheel route, etc., it's all stuff that is going to keep their linebackers guessing / honest in a way that didn't exist last time these two teams played. But on Sunday night, they started and they featured that extensively, and it was working, and I loved it. And then when they came out, remember at the start of the second half, they really stubbed their toe on offense. And they were like 3-4 wide, shotgun spread stuff, like for two drives in a row. It was like they went back to Mike McCarthyism. And I was like, what is going on? And then finally they got back to the running games, more condensed formations, their offense essentially. And then they started moving the football again. So I think one of the biggest mysteries to me the last time around was how much spread stuff they used. They can't get into that game. Not in San Francisco. Not against that front. That is asking for death.
Yeah.
You've got to condense it. You got to use motion. Get Rodgers outside the pocket, because Lord knows if you're sitting back there in shotgun, they know where you are and they're coming after you.
The NFL had this preview video that I showed you. They do for all the teams. So it's like NFL Digital, NFL Films. They posted, Packers posted. It's not made by the Packers. And it was really good. It's like 4 minutes.
It's the NFL Digital.
It's the NFL preview of the preview of, and what was great about it is they put all the Seahawks stuff in there. They put all of San Fran's game in there. They kind of like mix it up and say, what have we learned? What has changed since last time? What have we learned since this time? And I had this tweet about it. To me, the thing that we don't know, right? The thing that we didn't see in the last time we played them, but the thing that we just saw in Seattle, Aaron Rodgers literally threw a first down on third down three times.
Yeah, right. To
drop the dime, put it to bed. Yep. I mean, it's like throwing a dart at the bullseye at the end of the game
three times
every damn time.
It's like when you're playing cricket and you need to hit bullseyes to close it out. Rodgers just went 1, 2, 3. Who's doing shots?
That's low. Yeah.
That was it.
Yep.
Boom.
To me, that is the X factor. If Aaron Rodgers can have the game he had, if him and Devontae can build on what they did, and Aaron Rodgers is as accurate as he was most of the game against Seattle,
right?
I don't even know. Like, it's so funny. We spent from when Aaron Rodgers took over for Brett Favre, right? It was this whole doubt chain, right? Till 2010. Then he wins the Super Bowl, right. And then he's a god, right?
Right.
And he's a god.
Well, and he kind of was a god. I mean,
and he was a god.
Pretty amazing.
He was a god, right? And he's a god. Then we don't go to the playoffs for 2 years, and all of a sudden it's like everyone is counting him out. And now Good Morning Football. Good Morning Football.
2 seconds. For whoever it is asking, do super chats get read in transplants? Yes,
yeah, at the end
of the show.
At the end. We're putting them in there. We're going to answer
everybody. They'll be in the queue, and at the end of the show, we talk about all of them.
We're picking some good questions. So you have a good question, and I see it. We'll put it in there 100%. Nagler.
Well, did people ask?
Nagler.
They're giving us super chats. I don't want to like
them. You.
You were talking about Good Morning Football.
It's a Good Morning Football.
See?
I'm listening.
Tuesday morning.
Unlike you.
Monday or Tuesday morning, I watched it. They were like, it was like, oh, the Packers.
Oh,
so good.
Aren't they great?
How good are they?
Oh, I love the Packers. Welcome, Good Morning Football. I know. It's
really hilarious.
It's kind of funny. After you know, all the power rankings have the Packers last, like of the four teams remaining, and they have the longest odds and I love it. I love it.
Oh, live from Stadium Drive guys are in here. Sorry.
What's up?
They invited me last minute, but I was already at Lambeau by the time they invited me. But I would have stopped by for a drink. Not that I needed one, but.
Exactly. And finally, quickly, to close off on the offensive side of the ball. Aaron Jones got a lot of grief after the Chicago game for his pass protection for obvious reasons and for valid reasons because he was very suspect and it was hard to watch. I wanted to highlight this play. It's the third down toss to Jimmy Graham that sealed the game. Aaron Jones absolutely stones this guy. Look at this. Working across formation, by the way. Coming from across into the middle, stones the defensive back, and allows Rodgers to get this throw off. I mean, that is a big-time play that's not going to get a lot of mention, not going to get a lot of notice. So I wanted to highlight it. Because Aaron Jones, like I said, earlier in the year, got a lot of grief for his pass pro. There he is making a play in pass pro.
Do I have a mustache?
Not making a play in pass pro is Corey Banky. Yes, you have a mustache.
Dude.
You got a milk mustache with your beer foam.
You know what the 180 of that was?
What's that?
Dude, when Marshawn Lynch.
Oh, no.
He totally misses, and then he's like, puts his hands. Did you see that?
No,
I
missed that.
Did you see that?
In what? In pass pro?
Yeah.
No, I missed it.
He misses. He's coming around the edge. It's not Preston. Who is it? He misses. He completely whiffs on the... It was Jair. It was Jair on the safety blitz.
On the blitz on
he's
the...
He's supposed to pick him up.
The two-point conversion?
He looks, and he looks around, and he goes, oh! He knows it's his fault. He knows.
Oh, hey. Speaking of Marshawn...
So good. It's so good.
Speaking of Marshawn, big-time shout-out to Marshawn Lynch, given that speech,
oh,
I guess
so
you'd call
great.
It, after the game about, you know, take care of your mentals, take care of your chicken. Dude, I love Marshawn Lynch with all of my heart.
I have a
big heart that has lots of love in it, and I give every ounce of it to Marshawn Lynch. That talk that he gave at the end, you know, he's probably done. He's probably never going to play again, and he takes the time. He doesn't want to talk about himself. Doesn't want to talk about the game. He wants to, impart wisdom to other NFL players who are young and just starting out and or in the league. He's, you know, saying essentially, I've seen the other side, guys. I've been retired for a long time now. Now I'm back. Now I'm going back to being retired. Take care of yourself.
And take care of your chicken.
Take care of your chicken. Take care of your mentals.
You know who doesn't take care of their chicken?
Oh,
all the beat writers in all of the world. They're all terrible. Go away. Get fired. Go away. Because everybody who was in that press conference was terrible
Lord.
To him.
Oh, no.
They're garbage.
Oh, no.
Why do we even have beat writers? I honestly think you could get rid of all the beat writers and football would be better.
See, I disagree. I think there are good ones, and I think there are...
Yeah,
they play an instrumental role.
No consequences for weeding out the bad ones.
No, I get that.
There's no... It's like... I 100% agree. There's good ones, and there's bad ones, and there's literally zero consequences for being terrible.
That's probably true.
And no... Because there's one, spineless dude like Stu Courtney who gets to decide who the person is who gets hired and fired. Oh.
Hey. Stu's a friend, so relax.
Whatever.
Stu's all right.
It's all
Stu's
garbage.
One of the good
dude.
Ones.
It's like there's literally out of 30 beat writers, then the TV people are the worst, except for a couple people. But again, Like,
okay,
like,
hey,
what's worse, Steven Watson or Peter Bukowski?
They're kind of
the same.
All right. If we're gonna go here, I mean, we're way off script now.
Marshawn Lynch is saying, "Take care of your chicken," and literally after that, they're all like asking him stupid questions instead of taking advantage of the moment that's there in front of them. It's classic. I've got a story to write that no one's going to read, by the way, because nobody reads the newspaper. FYI, I don't care what the Green Bay Press Gazette has on their cover after this game. This game was amazing. Mm. I went to Cheesehead TV. I went to Twitter. I went to Facebook. I went to other things. It used to be
you would
20
go
years ago. You'd
this
see,
picture on the cover of the paper. Cover. So important.
I don't care.
Right.
Nobody cares. Nobody even sees it. None of those kids that was around me at Lambeau Field, around my grandpa's seats, they don't care.
Nope.
They don't watch that. The world has moved on.
Literally why I stopped
has not moved on
working for the Green Bay Press Gazette and came back to Cheesehead TV. Literally why I made that move. All of that said, hey, can we shoot, while we're bitching about the media, can we shoot... How does it feel? / tell us your emotions. Oh, how are you feeling about questions into the fucking sun?
Why?
Shoot it.
There's no consequence.
Into the sun.
There's no consequence.
Literally, the first question, or one of the first questions to LaFleur today was, how are you feeling? One of the first questions to Aaron Rodgers, how are you feeling? Ask about the game, ask about the opponent, ask about football, ask about anything other than... how they're feeling.
You think Robert Zizzo or Stu Courtney watched the press conference and be like, you know what? Let's have a debrief about your questions at the press conference. No. The Packers complain, and then basically they don't do anything because they're like, oh, we're journalists. No, you're not. You're entertainment. You're ET. Okay? That's the other thing. All sports writers, get the word journalism and reporting out of your face. You are basically ET. You are Hollywood Tonight, except for instead of Hollywood Tonight, you're NFL Tonight.
It's fair.
Hate to tell you, but that's what you're doing.
7.7%. Correct.
It's higher than that.
Yeah, it's around there.
It's higher than that.
You know who was really good, who I kind of miss? Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen was not afraid to go piss everybody off. You, me, everyone in the locker room.
Oh, I piss
every Packers player, anybody. Like that's a journalist. Like when people got arrested, he wrote about it. Like when something happened, he wrote about it. He did not care. So I totally agree that the majority of people, they're not journalists, but there are journalists working. They do exist, but they're just
between. My point is, that's not your job. Your job.
Well, it's supposedly their job, but
no, that's
so
an,
few
that's
do
an
it.
Antiquated thing. Is
so
what
few
I'm saying.
Do it.
It's an entertainment. It's a sport. That's the other thing.
Yes and no.
Sports
it
is
depends
not,
on who's paying your
sports
salary.
Sports is not news. Sports is sports. It's entertainment. You could
yes
say,
and no.
Yeah, because you could say entertainment's
okay,
news.
But so do the Packers, as you often state, how important are they to the local economy? What do they mean for the local community?
Very good. They mean a lot.
A lot. So you would think watchdog journalism would be a very important component of covering that franchise. Not the team, the franchise.
Kohler.
Important.
Kohler and... What's the LED walls that are coming into Wisconsin from China?
Foxconn?
Foxconn.
Right.
Kohler and Foxconn
contribute
more to the Wisconsin economy. So we need to put more.
Foxconn is doing, but we'll save that for another program.
Why doesn't Kohler get beat writers? Why? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a joke.
They
dude.
Do, though.
It's a joke.
They
it's a joke.
The local
guys,
reporters
joke.
Cover them.
It's a joke. It's a joke that there's a.
It's not a joke. It's very important. It's just a job that's not being done.
More people watch this show than watch WISN.
I am aware of that. I know this.
Now, if Waller's
that doesn't mean
figure
so
that
what?
Out,
yeah, nice. More people watch Titanic than watch Parasite.
Oh,
but Parasite's a fucking amazing film, and
now we're gonna talk about
Titanic is garbage. So, you know, just because something's popular doesn't mean it's right. You know this. I know you know this, and I know you're just trying to get me going.
I just think
we're supposed to be talking about the fucking defense.
The green,
and we're talking about this nonsense.
Throw the NFL beat reporter machine into the sun.
I'm
up with something new.
I'm with you.
You know
on
what?
That. You know what we did? It's called Cheesehead TV.
Yeah. Okay.
Where were we? You want to talk about the debate last night? You know, the Democrats.
No,
they had a debate.
No.
You know, you're sitting here talking about Foxconn, the greatest con in the history of Wisconsin, and you wanted me to talk about football now. All right, fine. All right. Kenny Clark, baller. Baller.
Oh, my goodness.
Baller. Roll this clip, Al. Look at this man. Look at this man. Watch this man. Oh, let me go. How far am I? I'm not even making the play, but I kind of make the play. Watch this. Watch it again. Like, he's blocked. He's blocked. He's blocked. Anybody would sit this down here. But Kenny, not only keeps going after him, defeats a block, and forces Russell Wilson off the spot. I could have showed the sack. I could have showed, like, any number of clips. Him blowing up the third and one to stop Marshawn Lynch, etc. Well, I wanted to show that clip because it's like, this is a man who has no quit, and he's doing that with a bad back.
There's another one where he runs past Russell.
Right.
Well, Russell goes forward, yep. And then he comes back, and gets he's the one who makes the play.
Well, that's he gets Russell initially. That's the clip I put up on Twitter this afternoon. But yes, 100%. 100%. Kenny Clark, baller. And speaking about the defense, on the defensive side of the ball, as I stated a little bit earlier, the defense kept them in the game last time. I don't think people remember the fact that, A, Aaron Rodgers gifted the 49ers a touchdown, essentially, with that fumble that put them on the one-yard line, and they punched it in. Outside of that, the 49ers had one legitimate drive the entire first half. Packers are totally in the game until the third quarter, about midway through the third quarter, because of the defense. So anyone thinking that, oh, they're just going to march down the field, etc., they will undoubtedly score points. George Kittle will undoubtedly produce. There's zero question in my mind.
Yeah, he said George Kittle drink.
But this defense has got something for Jimmy Garoppolo. Garoppolo is going to throw them at least one, maybe two.
Ooh.
And the question is, can Kevin King, Jaire Alexander, Darnell Savage, Adrian Amos, can they hold on? Can they hold on?
Well, did you see Adrian
Kevin
Amos?
King had one.
Adrian Amos called it.
What did he say?
I missed it. Twitter.
What did he say?
He said, we will win this weekend.
Oh.
You didn't see that?
Oh.
Oh, I tweeted it. I retweeted it.
Oh, of course. Right. All right.
So you don't consume my content, Nate?
No, never. Why would I? I sit right across from you every week. Well, I don't have to. Like, you don't
Adrian
follow me, I don't follow you.
I need to unfollow you.
Yeah, seriously.
If I had a dollar for every time somebody bitches at me because you blocked them, I would literally have $10,000.
Well, people should stop being dicks on Twitter.
Look,
I wouldn't have to block them.
Nigler, just stop blocking people.
Stop being dicks.
You're not the president. It's okay.
I don't have to be the president to block people on Twitter. It is one of the functions of Twitter. It is available to you. I use it. I use all tools available to me.
Well, I did mute Peter Bukowski early in the season. But then I did unmute him because he just shows up everywhere in my feed.
You can't
and
stop him.
And then I'd have to look what he said, and then I'd have to repeat.
He hosts a very popular podcast, Corey.
He hosts.
I was on it.
Apparently the most popular podcast. Yeah, you traitor.
I was on it. I was on PackCast, too. I'm a man of the people, Banky.
Whatever. Okay.
Spreading the Cheesehead TV love.
If I hear about George Kittle anymore, I'm going to explode.
He's a friend of show. He's friend of Cheesehead
TV. No, he's not a friend of the
he's
show.
A friend of Cheesehead TV.
No.
Yes,
no,
is.
No.
George?
No.
We love you, buddy.
No.
Thanks for supporting Cheesehead TV.
Also, has Jimmy Garoppolo, did we get an interception last game? I forgot.
No.
Ugh.
No. Game close, but no. Need to get one.
You know
need to get one
you
this
know
week.
The while we're on script, okay? We are on script. I'm still on it.
Yeah, no, we're there. Intercepted once, Kendricks, that's right. There you go.
Kendricks got an interception of Garoppolo last game?
I don't know. That's what Al's telling me.
Yes.
There you go.
Dude, that was a fake Amos account? No, it wasn't. It was a real Amos account. I retweeted
it. It was a fake Amos account. Oh. See, that's why I didn't see it.
Nagler, I'm going to find this damn tweet, and we're going to look at it. Okay, look.
Oh, my God.
All I have to say, I want to say something while we're talking about the defense. Before we close out this show.
Right. I hear you.
Okay?
I feel you.
The Green Bay Packers defense.
Oh, boy.
Is amazing.
Okay.
And
I tend to agree.
I believe that we are still ascending.
Still ascending?
Not ascending as much as the offense is ascending right now, but I believe.
Ascending.
I'm finding this. So you can move on to the next thing.
Okay. Well, the next thing is discipline. The Packers have to be disciplined. And I know the aggression is great.
Love the aggression. But look, you don't have to look any further than George Kittle, your favorite guy. His touchdown in the last game is a direct result of Jair Alexander being too aggressive. If Alexander plays the defense as designed, that Kittle touchdown never happens. They have got to be disciplined. And I know they're going to be pumped up. I know they're going to be excited. I know it's a big moment. They have got to be disciplined more than anything else on the defensive side of the ball.
True.
Because Shanahan does such a good job of designing plays to take advantage of your not only your aggressiveness, but your tendencies, your weaknesses. He is a fantastic play caller. And he has historically gotten the better of Mike Pettine. Mike Pettine, like I said, kept him in the game last time.
Yeah.
But for the most part, Shanahan has had the upper hand. They have got to be disciplined.
It was a fake Amos account.
That's why I didn't see it.
I still retweeted it.
Thank you very much.
I undid the retweet, but I still liked it.
Oh, boy.
It just felt so real. I had to retweet it.
It definitely felt real. There's no doubt about that. Okay. I think we're ready. Are we ready? Okay, let's hit it, Al.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right. It's the return of that venerable series, This Week in the Packer blogosphere. Al, you've thrown me off because, buddy, Jimmy Garoppolo did not throw a pick last time. I didn't think. I thought I was losing my mind. Talk about fake news.
Last week.
Oh, no. Dude, last time they played the Packers. I know you're already moving on to the Super Bowl.
Last week.
But they have to play the Packers
first. Nobody
cares
about the Vikings.
No one gives a crap about the Vikings. Good Lord.
Oh, Lord.
You know, why do we do this show?
I don't know.
Why do we allow a 49ers fan to produce this show?
It's not by choice. Trust me.
I guess so. Hey. Big, 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 big guest.
Woo!
Coming to Nagler's Never Right. Tonight, it'll be up for Patreon members only. Exclusively on the Cheesehead TV Patreon page, I'll be speaking with Kenny Clark. That's right. The baller himself. Kenny Clark and I are going to sit down, chew the fat, talk some football, talk some life. If you wish to become a Cheesehead TV member of our Patreon page, all we ask is $5 a month. It contributes to everything we do here at Cheesehead TV, not just video, content, social, whatever. Everything we do, including making sure that that screen doesn't go blue next time.
$5
a month. $5 a month. It could help.
It helps.
All I'm saying is it could help.
Although, yeah, it's looking good. It's
it looks
good
beautiful
lately.
Now. It's always great when the sun starts going down.
Yeah.
I love that we
like
do the show
purple
at this time now because like we watch the...
Yeah.
The video changes.
I like when it gets blue and purple because Lambo's so like yellow. It's got the yellow lights and like
so gorgeous,
so nice,
so gorgeous. So tonight, overnight, Kenny Clark is going to be up on the Patreon page. I'll be chatting with him.
I can't believe you actually teased that because
why not?
He might Larrivee us.
He could, but then you know what? It's on him, and that's bad juju going into the NFC Championship game. He's not going to do nothing like that. Kenny's a good guy. I like him a lot. Been chatting with him back and forth. He's going to be on my podcast tonight, so check that out. And then there's the issue of the analytics crowd.
Oh,
talking
God.
About
nothing like walking back. Nothing like not having the balls to walk back your
BS. All right. I was getting, I don't want to play the PFF
no,
response
guys.
Video.
You guys are stupid.
Because, okay,
they're dumb.
They said what they said last week.
Whatever.
And I called them morons. And for that, I truly apologize.
No.
That was out of hand.
They're morons.
That no, it was bad. It was dumb on my part. It was emotional. I'm an emotional guy. You see, I co-host
I agree
the
with
Packers.
You. I agree with your emotion.
Show. I love the Green
Me
Bay
and
Packers.
Your emotion or agreement.
I got a little carried away. That's all I'm saying. However,
no.
All of that said, to watch that game, to produce that video, and if you haven't seen it, go back to last week's show and you'll see what I'm talking about. To produce that video where you glibly, dismissively say, does defense matter?
That's moronic.
No.
That is moronic, though. If I said
is.
That and you
correct.
Called me a moron,
correct.
You'd be right.
It is. And that's what I said. One of their guys came after me and said, well, you said they're morons and that's blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that's right. That's true. That's my bad. But that is a moronic statement. And I know there's a context in which and blah, blah, blah. But then to have the game play out on Sunday night... And then on Monday to produce a video saying,
this is why we were totally wrong, yet also totally right.
Just say you're wrong. Just say we don't know what we're talking about. Just say maybe we need to re-examine what we think, etc. No, PFF did none of that. Or at least these two people with PFF did none of that. Instead, they said, well, let's turn ourselves into pretzels trying to prove why we were right all along. And here's my big thing. Now, Analytics Twitter came after me, and I get it. It's fine. Most of that was about Ben Baldwin saying this fucking ridiculous thing he put up on Twitter where he said the Vikings are still a better team than the Packers.
Come on.
And I don't care about head-to-head. I mean, so why are we even playing the games? Why are you even watching football? Why do you call yourself a football fan? Or why do you cover the game if the games don't fucking matter?
Okay.
That's just, now that's moronic.
I'm sorry. If Vince Lombardi was alive today, he would call all these stupid fucking idiots what they are. Stupid fucking moronic idiots!
That's Corey Behnke. Right to him. But
I'm just saying, would he not?
I don't know.
He'd be like, what the fuck is going on?
I wouldn't
out
presume
here?
To speak for Vince Lombardi. But I will speak for Aaron Nagler when I say this is the problem PFF has at the moment. They want to present their data and they trumpet the idea that they are in league with all 32 NFL teams, which is true. The teams buy their data mostly for things like positional data, like how many times does this guy play in the slot, etc. All of that nonsense. They're certainly not buying the PFF grades. That's not what they're there for. And they're certainly not buying the content. They're not purchasing PFF people saying defense doesn't matter. What PFF is trying to do is be relevant online. They're trying to produce content. And in doing so, they're saying stupidly glib stuff like, does defense matter? No. Well, okay, here's your problem. You're trying to be content, relevant, and trying to produce actual data. The data is important, and that's what teams want. But when your presentation of said data is so ridiculously flawed, and you have zero ability to publicly state, oh, you know what, maybe we weren't right, or maybe we drew the wrong conclusions
from the analytics.
Maybe
that's more like
that. Instead of that, they like double down. You're just killing yourself.
PFF.
You're killing. That's the worst brand play you could ever make.
PFF is owned by Collinsworth. How is it supposed to do anything but suck?
I like Collinsworth. I think he's smart. He was smart to invest.
Oh.
I hate how they've tried to shoehorn in PFF to all the Sunday night broadcasts, etc. But that was my only thing. I am sorry for getting personal. They got hella personal in response, which I totally understand. And I'm just going to leave it at that.
What?
That is my two cents.
Did you leave your like balls outside the studio or something?
What happened to you? No. I'm just saying. I get it. That's all.
Fuck those guys.
Well, yes.
Like,
essentially.
Again,
yes.
It goes back to my narrative, and my narrative is correct, and you see it play out all the time.
Right.
I've had the same narrative since 2007. Right. We're a small market team, and everyone can just shit on us, and there are no consequences for the national media when they do,
right.
And they don't have to retract. They'll retract back on the 30th page of the New York Times. Look.
Right.
The New York Times didn't even write an article about the game, the NFL divisional playoff, until 2 days later.
It was too late.
Come on, man. Like, this is the world we live in.
Printing content.
This world where everybody can just shit on the Packers and nobody gives a crap except us.
That's why we're here.
It's ridiculous.
We're devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Should we take chat questions now?
Ah!
Oh, yeah.
Booger makes Collinsworth look great.
Okay.
All right. I'm going from the bottom, Lisa. All right. Here we go. We got a super chat from Gary Remus. We're going to start out with Gary Remus.
Oh, boy. Remus. That's like out of.
Why do you guys think the legacies of TT and MM aren't looked at with the same reverence as Holmgren and Wolf? I'll never get it. We were lucky to have all four.
I agree with that. I think.
I don't see graphics on the front, Al.
I think in time they will be looked at. With more fondness. It's too fresh now, and there's too much kind of bitterness online about it. I think most fans do view both of those guys in a favorable light. I think time will heal most of those wounds.
Ken on Facebook. Hope you're still here. Let's go Green Bay. And hi, Corey and Aaron. Hey,
what's up,
man? Eric Kaiser on Facebook. Hey, dudes, would love to know how we can help you guys get credentialed and become more popular. Your brand needs to be heard.
Oh, that's very nice of you.
Thank you. Like our page on Facebook, subscribe on YouTube, and if you can, go to patreon.com/cheeseheadtv, and that really helps us out. Hopefully, you know, if I just keep yelling at Nagler, he'll eventually quit, but you know, he's kind of used to it. Andrea Stankard, I had a stupid sit down guy behind me during the game. Our whole small section were the only ones seats sitting. So annoying. Really sorry to hear that, Andrea. My section typically tends to be
that exactly
section.
That.
And so the wasn't. Fact that it wasn't, I'm sorry to hear that for you. Brock Rannick on Facebook. Go Pack Go. Go Pack Go, buddy.
There you go.
Jake Sadler, thanks for the super chat. Was Corey the guy yelling woo the TV mic? Probably. Probably.
No, you weren't. You weren't even close to it.
I wasn't. The super chat from Andres Arias. The Packers are going to win this game in the Super Bowl, and there's nothing you can say to convince me otherwise. Carry the G, son. Podcast 1919, thanks for the super chat. Adding a sixth O-lineman and a good idea for this game.
I think they might do some of that, try and widen out the rush. I don't think it'll be exclusive. I don't think they'll use it a ton. But maybe on some of the deep shots they want to take, yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Sorry. Aaron Spina, thanks for the super chat. Just gave us a super chat. Appreciate you. Matub in the chat.
What's up,
thanks
Matub?
For the super chat, Matub, with the $2 super chat. Look at Matub getting that SB Nation money. I mean, Acme Packing Company money. Ben Baldwin hates film the way I love memes.
There you go. I like it.
All right. Josh Goodstein, thanks for the super chat. Living away from Wisco, Cheesehead TV makes me feel at home. Cheers, Nags and Corey.
Salut.
Pack, go.
Go pack. Go, buddy.
Luke Mallon on Facebook. Banky, when are you heading out to SFO? Okay, so this will be the third playoff game I've missed since 2007.
I can't believe it, actually.
But you know what?
Dumbstruck.
You know what, Nagler?
What's
I felt like we owed it to watch party.
We do.
You and I.
Party. Especially since I didn't really have one last
We're buddies.
Time. Right.
We can hang out. We can sit together.
You can do it.
You know, I know, you know, I'm not Liz Gonzalez, but, you know.
No, poor Liz. She, like, didn't really want to be there. You could tell.
You could tell.
She was sitting there with her, like, shawl on, pretty much. It was like,
she's
watching
like,
my
I'm
grandma.
Cold.
Yeah, I was like, let's get
on her
and
laptop.
Get crazy. Hubs and everybody. I had a ball. But, yeah, the vibe wasn't quite the same.
Overshadow Sean. Happy birthday to Aunt Gerd from Texas. Not as exciting, but the sentiment is. Appreciate you.
Happy birthday.
Nathan Chalmers, thanks for the super chat. Appreciate you. Matt Rogers, Negs, if Shanahan brackets and doubles Tay and Jones is stymied by the front four of San Fran, shouldn't this be a go down swinging game, throwing 40 to 50 times, trusting Lazard, MBS, and GMO to get open?
I mean, that's a scary proposition. However, I don't hate it if they're doing something akin to a short game. The problem is, getting things open and finding avenues to make that work in that cover three shell is so difficult. I don't mind it if they can find a quick rhythm passing game. And I don't know, you talk about go down swinging. I still think you run the ball. You run the ball, try and run them out of that coverage, because that is the surest way of freeing things up downfield.
Okay. I forgot where I was. All right. No, where was I? Oh, the double team. There. Chad Bartel, thanks for the super chat. Thank you, Corey and Aaron, for what you do for the fans. I wish this season did never have to end. Win or lose, it has defied expectation. Go Pack. I agree.
Thank you, Chad.
I agree. Oh, and I want to say what I always say during the playoffs, and I didn't really say it now because it didn't really make me as angry to say it, but, you know, and I have said this before, look, whatever football means to you, this is the time, you know, this is the time to enjoy it. This is the time to have fun. Like, I can't tell you how many times I had to stop and breathe. I got a little bit wasted after the game, and I'm a little bit mad at myself because I don't have all the memories, right? I have the memories from the game, but like afterwards, hanging out with my friends and my family. And I'm luckily I have some videos that my girlfriend took that show how in
which
much
I,
of an idiot I am.
Seen, and they're fantastic.
But they're great. And like, you know, you got to savor these moments because you don't know. All of a sudden, the world can change and we could be 20 years from now wishing
never back in the playoffs.
And we really, you can't, you cannot take it for granted. It's very, very special. I know football is one of those things for people, kind of like the movies or kind of like entertainment, where it's something that is that lets you escape from your life as it is. And it makes you feel bigger than you are. And those are the things that I take away, and those are the things that I love about it. It connects you. It connects you
in a way that,
like,
you can't really explain.
You and I, like, you and I are really good friends,
right.
And I feel like, you know, even from college, like, we would be friends without the Packers. Right. I do feel like that.
But obviously, it's a connection.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously something that's a bigger bond than that, and you can't. You can never, I guess the thing that I've learned, especially the last 2 years, is like, you can't take that for granted. I've said that since 2007, since we've been doing the show. Right. What's really funny is we're 190, is this 197?
195.
I told Wes last week, I was like, 194, you've done, he's done 400 Packer Unscripteds. And I was like, oh my God.
That was like Caravoo.
Yeah.
He had done like 500.
We did have 2 years where we weren't on the air.
Exactly.
About, right?
We only do it once a week.
Yeah, we only do it
doing every day.
But still, 194 times we've done the five times. This is 195 times we've done this show since 2007.
That's nuts.
That's crazy.
What's so funny?
That's crazy.
Well, since we're getting all sentimental here, what's so funny is that back in the day when we first started, it was like, let's do a podcast. I said, what's a podcast? Because this was 2007. No one was doing podcasts. And we both kind of hemmed and hawed about it. And then eventually it was like, wait a second, this gives me an excuse to see Corey every week. And that's literally why we started doing this. Because I would go over to your place.
Which is far, by the way.
Which I had to go.
Going from Queens.
From Astoria? I had to go
down.
I
thought about that.
Times Square, like, change over, yeah. Go up.
It took you like an hour and a half to get to my house.
Forever to get to your place and forever to get home. But it meant, people who don't live in the city don't realize, like, city life divides you.
Yeah.
Like, people live in different boroughs. If you're not in the same neighborhood, you never see your friends.
Yeah.
We graduated with people. They all moved to New York. They all moved away.
Yep.
I never saw any of them because we didn't live next to each other. But that podcast at the time was the reason I saw you every week.
Yep.
And that was great. And that was the whole, it comes back to what I was talking about a connection.
The first 10 were a lot better because we took like 3 hours to make 1 hour.
Not an hour, 20 minutes,
yeah, 20 I think, minutes.
25 minutes.
So we would be like, no, I said
hyper,
I said the there. Now we're know, like, yeah. Now I say whatever. Stupid shit all the time, and who cares?
And we sounded like NPR.
Anyway,
you listen to those early podcasts,
yeah,
and Corey
do.
And I are both like, today, the Green Bay Packers are facing Seattle. That's literally how we talked back then.
Anyway, not to belabor the point, but, you know, if you're watching the show still and you haven't given up on us.
Or the Packers.
Look. Win or lose this weekend, you know, take them from now until the game. Like, you know, so much of my time has been spent being anxious about the game.
Right.
I don't have that as much anymore because what I try to do is I try to just like devour the minutes, you know, it's like, oh, here's the minute where the houses come together. And here's the minute where I get to go to the game with my sister. And,
right.
You know, here it's like you just want to consume and consume and consume. And it's so much fun. And you just got to step back and breathe
time will
and take
come.
A moment.
You know what time is about to come where they're going to play the game. And there are going to be good moments and bad moments and blah, blah, blah. But the whole lead up, it's like, yes, marinate it.
Well, and
soak it in.
And this year, my whole pre-camp thing, like, I really want to take that into my life now.
Right.
It's like, I've taken that into pre-playoffs and I've taken that in, like, it's funny, like, some of the things that have bothered me about what people say online and stuff.
Right.
As much as you probably think they really still bother me now, they don't bother me as much. And
right.
I push past them because I know that like the people that I hang out with and the people that I get to meet are like today, a guy who works at Google saw me on 10th Avenue
right.
with my Nike Packer shoes
right.
and hit me on Twitter and was like, I'm pretty sure that was you because I don't know that many people who have Nike Green Bay Packer shoes, you know? And so I just, you know, hug your family, take care of your chicken.
Take care of your chicken, and, take care of your mentals,
and
take
I've
care
completely
bodies.
Forgotten where I was on the thing. Okay. Frank Winters or Corey Linsley?
Ooh. Oh.
That's from Overshadow.
Oh, that hurts.
Show, by the way.
That hurts. But I got probably Frank Winters. Oh, that hurts. That hurts.
All right.
That's hard.
I'm going to go with Corey Linsley over Frank Winters, by the way.
Well, you've had dinner with the man, so that's not fair.
Yeah. Old Bag of Donuts. I love Old Bag of Donuts.
Gotta go Bag of Donuts.
But dude, Corey Linsley, what he's done for this team.
I love him. I love him.
Honestly,
love him.
If you look at a player who's, I don't know, besides Aaron Rodgers, I don't know that there's a player that has done more for this team in the last, since Corey Linsley's been here.
Right.
Which is like 8 or 9 years.
Right? Okay. All right. So one way to look at it.
What? Name one.
I don't know. Devontae Adams.
I think Corey Linsley's done more.
I think Za'Darius Smith has done a lot in the year he's been here.
In the 1 year.
No.
100%.
Just saying.
All right. Jamie Averin, Super Chat, thank you so much. I volunteered to get whatever illness is going around the locker room on behalf of the Packers in order to prevent another player from going sick. Yes, please.
I love it.
Nathan Chalmers, thanks for Super Chat. Rodgers' playoff experience is a huge advantage.
I very much agree with that sentiment.
Yeah, I would agree.
I do think that he's walking into a really tough situation, but I very much agree. He's been there. There's nothing that's going to faze him. I 100% agree. His experience is a major asset for Green Bay.
Matt Skinner, thanks for the Super Chat. Can Nagler unblock me on Twitter? I don't know what I did. At Matt Skinner 10.
We'll see.
Is $4.99 enough for people to unblock you?
We'll see.
For you to unblock
we'll
someone?
Find out tonight.
I don't think it's going to be.
We'll see.
Well, what did Matt Skinner do to you?
We'll find out. I'll have to go back and look.
Oh, Lord. How many people?
Like, how do I know in the moment? Of course not.
How many people do you think you've blocked?
At least 12.
Only 12?
Kidding. Yes, a lot.
Dude, I've had way more people than 12 people.
Yes, being
like,
I know.
Dude, literally people will show me the screenshot of what they did and they'll be like, can you please show it to Nagler? And I'm like, you know what I should do? I should just get I don't want to have a Venmo account. I should just get a Venmo account. And I should be like, anyone who's Nagler blocked on Venmo, Venmo me
$10.
And
I'll get you
and
unblocked.
And I'll get you unblocked.
You'd be a millionaire.
Something like that. Matthew Nels Rydell on Facebook. Will our DBs catch an interception or watch it hit the ground? They will catch it this week. Calling it now. D-line makes a pick. Ooh, I would love that. Kenny Clark making a pick.
Oh, my God.
Woo!
And rumbling to the house.
Woo-hoo!
Come on now.
Kenny Clark or Z or anyone, honestly.
Dean Lowry.
Dean Lowry get another pick.
That's what he does.
Let's go. That's what you do. Saul, thanks for the super chat. Packers need to come out with some intensity and deliver the first punch from the start. Go, Pack, go.
I'm down with that. How about an Irvin return for a touchdown?
That'd be sweet. I'm going to talk about Irvin in a second. Daniel Gomez, Packers are going to shock the world Sunday night.
Shock the world!
Close game, 23-20 GB. I can see an emotional Rodgers already in the press conference. Go Pack, baby. Jim, on the Super Chat, thank you. Packers O-line is the key to this game. Niners front can wreck a game without blitzing.
It is in the sense that they have to get, they cannot get behind the sticks. Do not get behind the sticks, and they have a chance.
Well, and I want to say something to that. You know, how hard is that going to be for the Packers O-line to keep up with?
Incredibly hard. Incredibly difficult. That's what I keep saying. Like, they have got to run the football. I can't make it any plainer. It's going to be, if they drop back 40 to 50 times, they're asking for a disaster. They've got to run the football.
I forgot where I was. Bob Kennedy on Facebook. Take care of your mentals. Take care of your chicken. Go Packers.
There you go.
Feel ya. Slider 6294. Carry the G should include not berating other Packers media incessantly. Okay.
Oh, shit.
Just going to unpack this. Look.
Remember, this man paid for the privilege.
No, he didn't pay.
Oh.
I picked him.
Oh, you just
I just
picked him. Oh, okay.
Look. I have spent more time with the Packers media as a blogger than anyone in the Packers blogosphere.
Probably true.
Period. End of story. I know almost everybody personally. I know as far as like having experience what it's like to be an independent blogger for the last 10 years in this space. So I'll talk about whatever the fuck I want to talk about on this show.
Also, it is the essential, quintessential version of carrying the G because the quote unquote media that covers the
they
Packers,
don't work for the G.
They don't cover the G. They don't carry the G. They carry as a badge of honor
that they don't
negative and or confrontational.
The bleeds, it leads.
The G.
The bleeds, it leads.
So that is incredibly erroneous statement.
The Packers ask us to do stuff like, hey, we're not going to pay you, but just rep the pro shop. By the way, you should buy this mug on the
mug
pro shop.
Pint glasses at the pro shop.
The Packers ask us to do stuff. We do stuff. That's carrying the G, okay?
Carry the G.
Hey, buddy. All right. Brian Harlan, great talk, guys. I'm thinking we are underestimating the Packers. Now, I put that in there because I actually agree with that. The national media has gotten me to a place where I feel like my expectation is that we are likely not to win the game, even though I believe we will win.
Okay.
Do you agree or disagree?
Well, I don't pay attention to the national media, so I have no idea.
Nagler, you are the national media.
I am the Cheesehead TV media.
You're in the national media.
What are you talking
Nagler,
about?
Nagler, when the NFL shows stuff about the Packers, a lot of times you're the guy.
Yeah,
you're like,
but that doesn't mean I'm part of the national
Nagler,
media.
Nagler.
I think they have to play a clean game. They have to play a complete game for the first time all season, and then they've got a shot.
What's your prediction?
Pain.
Nagler.
It's just a question of which.
Don't hide from me, Nagler.
Side.
Nagler, I will Myles Garrett you on this show.
I can't wait.
I will straight up Myles Garrett you. I ask you a prediction.
Packers win. How's that?
What's the score?
28-23.
I love how you were scared of me Myles Garrett-ing you. Well, not going to fit on your head.
Man, I ain't scared of shit.
What? Wait, you're going to have to answer this question. Popeye Sean, what tendencies does Blake Martinez have that Kyle Shanahan could exploit?
Wow. We're supposed to be wrapping this up. This could be a long answer.
Nagler, we're not wrapping it up. The people have questions.
No. He can get completely erased in the running game, and utilizing his somewhat aggressive nature sideline to sideline, they can kind of take advantage of those false steps and get, you know, end arounds, maybe screen backs to the opposite side of the field, shallow crossers to take him away from a deeper shot down the middle, etc. There's lots of ways.
He had a really good game
Sunday night. Yeah, he did. He played well.
Where the hell was I? It's hard for me to get back to the place. Okay. Aiden Flood, thanks for the super chat. Whatever the next week or three brings, this has been such a fun season. Thanks from Manchester for Cheesehead TV's role in this. Brian Balaga,
Iowa.
Dude, that is the greatest video.
It's so incredible.
That is the greatest video.
Incredible.
What was so funny is I didn't even realize TJ Lang like did that, like posted it and was like, this is great.
This
and then I was
amazing.
Like, have you seen this like an idiot? Because I was like, this is so, it's so,
so
great. Dude,
whoever
I was
put
playing
that together,
it.
I
played
it
on
it was,
loop like 10
amazing.
Times and I couldn't
amazing.
Stop laughing. I couldn't so stop good. Laughing how good it is.
So good.
How is it such a great video? Sidewalk Surfer 69. Nice name. Corey, we're both rocking the Stars t-shirt today. The ultimate carrier of the G. Go Pecco. That's right. Bart Starr.
The ultimate.
Is the ultimate carrier
of the G.
Honestly, no one in the history of the Green Bay Packers, that includes Curly Lambeau and Vince Lombardi, carry the G better than Bart Starr.
Agreed.
Period. End of story.
Agreed.
Darren Schoonover on Facebook. Do we look at Graham being involved more this weekend?
No. I mean, you look at his snap total from the game, you know, Sternberger and Lewis actually got more opportunities on the field, more snaps. But the big three third down conversions, clearly that bodes well. It's amazing that he's there making clutch plays, but I don't think you're going to suddenly see a ton of Jimmy Graham on Sunday night.
Sorry, I got a couple good extra questions. I know you want to end this, but
Trying to get ready for the Kenny Clark thing.
Oh, so. Nagler.
Oh, I know. Sorry. Producing content. I know it's the worst. What a jerk.
We're producing content right now.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, and I have more content to produce.
Did I ask you about Jimmy Graham?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, good. Sean Grant, underrated part of this team's success, recent special teams improvement. Agree, shout
Very
out.
Very much agreed.
Tyler Irvin.
Dude, I mean, Irvin's just the start of it, though, but the coverage has been fantastic. Look at the job that they've done, both in punt and kickoff coverage. Guys like MVS, Jake Kumerow, Oren Burks, all of these guys have really come to play on the coverage aspects, and that has been noticeably better
Dude.
The second half of the season.
Kumerow blocking
Jadeveon
Clowney on the goal line.
The Clowney block is amazing.
What?
I mean, he had a rough night on Sunday,
you
but
see
that
him
play
doing that against Bosa?
I would love it. How great would that be? And
Dude.
The funny thing was, is LaFleur calling it out on Monday, saying, yep, just like we drew it up.
It was so
which
great.
It was not how they drew it up.
No.
But I loved it. It was so great. It was a great play.
It was 100%. So great.
No doubt.
It was so great. Why do I always lose my place? Okay.
Don't know.
Overshadow Sean. Thanks for the super chat. Appreciate you. Bach Ronfield. Everyone keeps talking about a Packers versus Chiefs Super Bowl, but how would you guys feel about a Packers versus Titans Super Bowl?
The Packers are in the Super Bowl. That's how I feel about it. Packers in the Super Bowl! That's how I feel. I don't care if they're playing the Sisters of the Poor. The Packers are in the Super Bowl. We're going to Miami.
Okay, remember when you were doing the NFL playoff previews?
Yes.
And remember what I said?
Charles?
Yeah, with Charles. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Remember what I said?
Nope.
Titans.
Oh, there you go.
Literally was like Titans ascending.
Do you remember the
Titans ascending?
Do you remember the Mega Madden preview? Bills. That was incorrect.
That was wrong.
Yeah.
Luke C. Wow. Thanks for the super chat. Greetings from Japan. Love catching your show and content. Appreciate
oh, thanks so
you.
Much.
Matub, is there a video of I'm Travis Jervy? Unfortunately, no, but we need to recreate that.
No.
We may be getting a Cheesehead TV intern this season. Next season.
I think it's happening.
So that might be, if you have content ideas for Cheesehead TV, we are
shoot them to us.
We are reading the chat if you're still around.
Or hit contact at cheeseheadtv.com.
Chad Bartel, thanks for the super chat. Like Zadarius Smith, you gonna make me cry?
Oh well, that's why we're here. We're all in our feelings.
Bully Vegas, thanks for the super chat. Everyone's sleeping on the pack. We got this.
There you go.
Matt Rogers, Negs, is A-Rod fading away, backfooting most throws and not stepping into deep throws to avoid a potential fourth catastrophic injury? His off-platform throwing is sublime.
Yes and no. I think there is something to that. I mean, Favre famously threw everything while falling back, stepping back, jumping off the ground, etc. And he has repeatedly said that that played into his streak, the idea that he was avoiding unnecessary hits or roll-ups, etc. I think there's something to the idea that Rodgers is maybe trying to avoid hits, whatever, low shots, etc. You saw him talk to the ref after somebody dove at him, one of the shots early on in the game. But, you know, at this point, that's how he throws the ball. And we can all sit here and pick apart his fundamentals and what have you, but the man is delivering. The way he delivered in the clutch on Sunday night, I have zero arguments with how he's tossing the football.
Brandy, bring us your content ideas. We're ready for it. Barry Stevens on Facebook. Who do you want the Packers to face in the Super Bowl?
I seriously, honestly, and I mean this, 1,000% do not care.
I don't care.
Like Rodgers said to John Kuhn, I don't care.
I don't either.
I don't care.
If
we're in the Super Bowl.
Sean Grant, can the KRPR improvement be solely attributed to Tyler Irvin? I think we talked about this a little bit. Or is there an element of blocking be better as a result of a better returner?
It's both. I mean, the blocking has improved, but not exponentially so. Most of it is Irvin. Not all of it, but most of it.
Grossi is late.
Oh, he's here. Hi, Grossi.
At least he showed up.
Yeah, he showed up.
You know,
he showed up thinking we'd be done.
He has 50,000 subscribers.
And
so guys.
He thought, oh, they're live, so I may as well say hi.
Oh, I may as well. Oh, you guys are live? Hello. Oh, okay.
I may as well say hello.
Hey, Grossi, you going to go to a Packer game this year? Oh!
Oh, no. Oh, no, you
haven't. I even went to a Packer game this year.
That's a low blow. Low blow.
Did I say that out loud?
You did.
I think this is the second beer talking. Judy Hartman Schultz on Facebook. You've got the last one. Yes. Packers in the Super Bowl. Please go Pack. Go. We got you, Judy. Let's do this.
Judy carries the G.
You're winning. You're carrying the G. Yeah.
And Tex Bull is exactly 50 years younger than Aunt Gert. I love it. That'll do it for this week's installment of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who stopped by to chat some Packers with us. That's why Corey and I are here. We are, and will always be, win or lose on Sunday, Super Bowl or no, devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
Hey, Winston, I'm sorry. Where is the Winston that has given us illumination and information at past press conferences? Do we do something that you're down on us again? But this was what... Last week, it didn't go very well, and we want to talk about your guys, and I'm not quite sure what you want from us to make that happen.
I can't help you.